across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Breitloh. It's 7:06. It's nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, June 11th. And coming up this hour, former Alice in Dairyland Julia Nunes from Chippewa Falls joins Hans Breitenmoser as we talk about celebrating June Dairy Month. We'll have a member of the UW Stout football coaching staff talk to us about summertime prep that's about to take place ahead of the fall season. Chad Holmes will be along to preview what he's talking about on his weekday morning show in Wausau. All along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. The best way to reach us is with the Civic Media app, because you can text us, and that means you can take part in the SCANI Summer Text to Win contest. It's a statewide contest where we have hourly winners. They run the contest about every other hour during the day here. There's a daily winner, and there's a grand prize winner who's going to get a choice of an amazing staycation grand prize. And all you do is use the Civic Media app to text a keyword for that hour. And this hour's keyword is democracy. Kind of a longer one. Be careful how you type it. Last week, we had the keyword pontoon. And as I'm watching all the texts come in, I'm realizing somebody must have used their you know, talk to text, and it came in as on tune, T-U-N-E. And maybe they were on tune, but they were not going to be a winner because they didn't have the right keyword of pontoon. So keep this in mind. Well, not you, Brittany and Greg. You can't enter the contest. The sure. Important part is spelling. Spelling counts in this one.
Yeah, okay? we had cabin was ours was for one day, and someone just texted in Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin.
I'm like, all right, good job.
It can happen. So you've got until 8 o'clock this morning to text democracy to us using the Civic Media app. And as I'm looking through, yep, everybody's getting it right for the first couple of rounds here. So
they're all Googling it, too, to make sure that they spelled it right. Just double-checking.
You know, it's that, what do they say? That ducking autocorrect, you know?
Yeah.
Gets you in trouble. And before I get in trouble, let's turn things over to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's got a forecast for us that we are so on the edge. We're right on the edge of summer weather.
Oh, we are. It's right around the corner. But for today, we are looking at a few problem areas this morning. I mean, first of all, temperatures up in Eagle River dropped to 33 degrees this morning. Frost advisories were out for this morning, but have since expired. Some decent fog down in Bosque Belle right now. But otherwise, sunny skies for a good chunk of the state. However, we do have clouds pushing into the western areas with rain shortly to follow. That line of rain is moving out of Minneapolis right now. And of course, it's going to be pushing throughout the state. It's going to be moving eastward throughout the afternoon. So yes, everyone is going to be expecting some cloudier skies pushing in, and then also some spotty light showers. This does not have strong storms with it. This does not have crazy winds with it. And it's not even heavy rain either. We're just looking at a trace to maybe a tenth of an inch. So this is not a big system. You're not going to get drenched. And highs today, upper 60s into the northwestern parts of the state. And then for everybody else, we'll be in the low to mid 70s today.
All right. But again, looking forward to what's coming down the pike here, along with the earlier sunrises. We're getting very close to 8:50 now, and on the sunset, 5:20 on the sunrise. And there are parts of western Minnesota now this week where their sunset is after 9 p.m.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. Well, when we were visiting friends in Saskatchewan a couple of years back, I mean, their sunset is like 9:30, you know, at that particular part of the planet, you know?
Absolutely. And
it's crazy in a good way. I personally like it. Other people, not so much, but
I'm getting a little thrown off right now, even with our later sunsets. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's already 9? I got to go to bed, too.
that's exactly what I did last night. And thank goodness for the pitch clock. Because these baseball games, now I used to, I'd go to bed and like, oh, it's sixth inning, you know, I want to know how the game's going to turn out. I finish a lot of these games now. I might have to stay up an extra 5 minutes or so, but they'll get the whole game in 2.5 hours. It's a beautiful thing. From Rob out in Tigerton, good morning. It's sunny and 46, a busy day mowing the lawn. I changed my profile pic with my grandpa Paul Lehman, Shawano Speedway Hall of Fame plaque.
Nice.
Saturday night races were rained out, but got to spend time with my cousins. That was great. I loved 38 Special growing up. Ferris Bueller's Day Off came 2 weeks after I graduated in 1986. Somebody pays attention to our daily history lesson at 6:50.
Rob is, I think, your number one fan, and I'm here for it.
And again, we encourage anybody that wants to send in their temperature, their weather conditions, requests of Brittany for the weather. We take it all. So
absolutely.
Just get on one of those Facebook pages for Civic Media or for Up North News. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, 7:12 right now. And let's start with talking about the elections. No, not the November elections, the 2025 election, because there will be an election in 2025. Ready or not. And it will be for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That's because one of the progressive justices, a longtime Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, is retiring, not running for re-election. So there will be an open seat next April. And yesterday, a progressive judge entered the race and joined a former Republican state attorney general. So we now have two candidates in the race, a former Republican attorney general and Susan Crawford, a Dane County Circuit judge who previously was one of the top legal advisors to former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. She has also represented Planned Parenthood in a case related to abortion rights, and she cited that previous work as one of the reasons why she would be the better choice. Susan Crawford, in a statement, framed the battle as something dealing with ideological control of the court. Quote, "For the first time in years, we have a majority on the court focused on getting the facts right, following the law, and protecting our constitutional rights. We can't risk having that process reversed." Crawford vowed to, quote, "protect the basic rights and freedoms of Wisconsinites under our Constitution," which she said were threatened by, quote, "an all-out effort to politicize the court to drive a right-wing agenda." Crawford also pitched herself as tough on crime, highlighting her past work as an assistant attorney general, something that other progressive candidates have done in the past who have won elections to the court, saying, "I know we need Supreme Court justices who understand what it takes to keep communities safe, who are impartial and fair, will use common sense, and won't politicize the Constitution to undermine our most basic rights." Brad Schimmel is the Republican former attorney general who's also in the race. Now, if no more candidates were to get into the race, there would not be a primary. They would simply face off next April. As usually happens, there will probably be at least a third candidate, if not a fourth or more. And if that's the case, then there will be a primary. Because it's a nonpartisan race, all of the candidates would be on the primary ballot in February of next year. And then the top two candidates would advance to the general election, which next year will be April 1st for a 10-year term. Now, this one is going to be especially spirited, let's say, as a campaign, because it is a progressive justice who is stepping down, and so it is a chance for conservatives to win back control of the court. And if they don't get it done this year, they're going to have to wait 3 years, because the next three justices who come through, because they all rotate through, seven justices, they each serve 10-year terms, so seven out of every 10 years there's a state Supreme Court race. But the next three after this who come up are conservative justices who will be coming up for re-election. So the only chance conservatives are going to get to take back control of the court is this coming April. And so, yes, there's going to be this sense of fatigue from Wisconsin voters. They will get past the presidential election in November, get a very brief respite, and then be right back into the meat grinder of election campaigning until April of next year. But That is exactly the kind of circumstances that Wisconsin faced a couple of years back, and Janet Protasiewicz was able to emerge in that race and switch control of the court. On this day in history, the governor of Alabama, George Wallace, defiantly stood in the door at the University of Alabama in an attempt to block two black students from attending school. Later in the day, accompanied by federalized National Guard troops, the students were able to register. If you think such a brazen act wouldn't happen today, may I point you toward recent events in Baraboo, among many others. So let's work a little harder, kids, to keep ourselves out of the history books for all the wrong reasons. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a story today about reaction in Baraboo to the incident where a man whose daughter was on the stage getting set to graduate high school, the father rushed the stage to push the black superintendent out of the way and said something about not touching my daughter, who is white. Now, we don't yet know the exact nature of what prompted the father to do that, but obviously given that situation and a previous situation where nearly the entire male population of a graduating class was photographed giving a Nazi salute, the folks in Baraboo are worried that they are once again being highlighted in the news for all the wrong reasons. And there are a lot of people quoted in the article talking about Baraboo by Madeline Heim of the Journal Sentinel, talking about the good things and the good people that you have in the community of Baraboo. They say they're mortified by the graduation ceremony incident. They would like to show off the positive aspects of Baraboo, the many diverse people that are there, and to not find themselves in the news again. Baraboo Mayor Rob Nelson, who owns a bookstore, said incidents over the past several years served as a catalyst for residents to take a good hard look in the mirror at their biases and prejudices. And that makes sense. I do take issue with one thing he said, though. He said that there are people all over the world that make bad choices every day, and it's somewhat arbitrary the ones that social media decides to seize on at any given moment. Well, that may be the case, but this isn't just one person making one bad choice. There are circumstances in the area that are going to require that community to continue to have this conversation so that once again, the few ugly people who would do something like shove a black man out of the way so that he doesn't touch your daughter might crawl back under a rock and not emerge so publicly and unapologetically. We'll talk about summertime prep for college football season next. You're up north. Steely Dan has a classic example here of a movie soundtrack song you remember, FM, but remember nothing about the movie because the movie FM didn't do very well. But it was on this day in 1935 that we saw the first public demonstration of FM broadcasting in the United States. A reminder, you can join the conversation here throughout the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us through the Civic Media app, and as part of the Scani Summer Statewide Text Contest, if you text this hour's keyword, democracy, to us using the Civic Media app, you will be entered in a random drawing to win an hourly prize and the running for a daily prize and for a grand prize as well. There's a Wisconsin Dells prize pack out there waiting for you, great Brewers tickets, or your choice of several different options for a staycation grand prize. Again, text the word democracy to us by 8 a.m. So I got a chance to meet with Riley Kleister, who's on the coaching staff at UW Stout, and we were talking about football and sports. And I was curious as to what all has to take place in the off season at this particular level. And I know we've talked to Dan Schumacher previously in his role as athletic director at Northland College, and prior to that at UW Eau Claire. But I thought it would be interesting to hear from another perspective, in this case, from a coaching standpoint of somebody who it's just really loves football, loves to talk about it, and is looking forward to next season. So let's bring in Riley Kleist and find out a bit more about what's going on over at Stout and what's happening at the college and the high school ranks at this time of year. Riley, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm dandy. How are you?
Dandy here as well. Absolutely. Well, you know, this is, I find this interesting because I have a son-in-law who is the equipment manager for a hockey team, Division I hockey, Western Michigan University, Army West Point before that. And so I know that there really isn't an off season. There's always something going on, whether right. it's purchasing or maintenance or recruiting or training or what have you. And so I figure at some point in the fall, we're going to start talking about, you know, football scores in the WIAC and Stout taking on Whitewater, Eau Claire taking on Superior. But obviously work has to go on between now and then. And so at this time when you might not expect to be talking about it, people are getting the work done. Riley, what kinds of things, you know, go on at this time of year? What are you anticipating doing as you get closer to actually training for the football season?
Yeah, so players are getting their bodies and minds ready for the game, as well as coaches. We are working to – it's always recruiting season, so we're working on this year's recruiting class. There's always going to be some real late commits, as well as next year's recruiting class already, because it's never too early to start texting that going to be senior in high school saying, hey, man, we're interested in you. We want to get you on campus. We want to start meeting you, because it's never a bad idea to start talking to new athletes. And then – getting ready, right? Myself personally, as a younger coach, I'm still studying and learning the game and trying to be as comfortable with our playbook as possible and other teams, these schemes and ideologies, and also watching film and teach points from players gone by and players present at the professional and college level. So I'm working now to keep bettering my knowledge of the game, and players are lifting weights, and other coaches that are in the office more 24/7 are, they're working on recruiting and high school camps that are popping up all over the place this summer.
Tell me about the type of coaching that you're specializing in right now.
So I am the tight ends and fullbacks coach for Stout. And,
go ahead.
The bigger running backs that don't get all the pretty runs, they're doing the dirty work. They're my guys. And the tight ends that sometimes think they're more offensive linemen that just want an opportunity to catch the football, they're also my boys. So.
Mm-hmm. I think so many people they first learn about the quarterback and they learn about running backs and wide receivers, and I think, like you said, tight end is rather underappreciated until you've got a really good one or you face off against a really good one, and then you understand why you need that.
We say we're the poor man's quarterback because we need to know every bit of the offense just like the quarterback does. So, not taking a shot at receivers or running backs, but they don't always need to understand the full premise of the play, whether it's running or passing. So sometimes a receiver goes, oh, it's a run play, I gotta go dig out the safety, or I gotta, you know, down block on a linebacker. So they have to know a little bit of it, but the tight ends need to be able to work with the offensive linemen on blocking combos in a zone run scheme, and there's and also know how to run routes with the small wide receivers. So they gotta work with everybody.
And so now you've got, like you said, you've got campus visits from potential recruits going on right now. And then eventually it's early August sometime that you get going with the morning practices?
Yeah. So I don't remember the exact date, but it's early to mid August. We'll start back in fall camp. The guys will get back on, we'll get them. The first day is it's like getting everybody back from summer break or getting pads fitted. You're getting your medical stuff, paperwork turned in and all that sorted out. Just getting ready for the academic and athletic year and getting everybody back in order and get them in their locker and have a little bit of a reunion. And then day two, you're on the practice field and you're working.
So, now, you're a lot younger than me, but yet, even at your young age, you know about the changes that have come to football practice from a safety standpoint in two different areas. There's been a lot of talk about concussions, but then there's also talk about the summer practices used to be, you know, everybody knows the phrase two-a-days, and you'd be doing that in 90-degree weather. So, Riley, even in the time that you've gone from, you know, high school player to college player to you know, college coaching staff, you've seen changes in ensuring the safety of football players in the summer.
Yeah. So I'm a lot younger than probably the majority of coaches, and if not all of them, But even in my playing days for youth football to high school football and now into the college world and seeing how different practices are run, I remember, you know, I was playing football at, you know, the youth level and the high school level when concussions and the ideology and the belief system and the importance of them kind of changed. So I remember when you got your bell rung, you kind of just walked it off type of thing. And then it became, there was testing and mandatory testing. Now there's baseline testing for all athletes. So the game, the way you tackle somebody has changed, and it's going to continue to change. And it's even changed at the professional level going into this year. You can no longer perform a hip drop tackle as a defensive player on an offensive player. And then with that, there is different technology out there. So there's helmets that are now geared towards offensive linemen who have more repetitive but shorter distance impact head-to-head contact. They just have an extra bit of padding in the front. And there's now, they look like really big hat, like beanie hats you put over your helmet, and they're called guardian caps. And now they're approved to be used at in-game use, at least at the NFL level. And that's part of practice now. So if we have a player who has a history of concussions or just chooses to wear one for their own safety, they can put a guardian on, and it's just a big marshmallow that's on top of their head. So, and then 2 days, we'll have a real practice in the morning, and then we'll be on the field, no contact, just walking around and kind of getting a live look at the playbook instead of just looking at it on a PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of the 3D version. Riley, I'd like to get you back here to talk about this some more as we get closer to practice. I mean, we've got questions that we don't have time to answer now, like Tony asking about NIL, name, image, and licensing deals, you know, the difference between Division III and Division I. There's that whole mystery of the transfer portal that we hear about at that level and so much more. So, Riley, come on back again as we get closer to summer practice getting going. We'll talk about the WIAC and where football teams are going, but we really appreciate getting to meet you and hearing more of your perspective today, Riley. Thanks so much.
Yeah, excellent. No problem, Pat. Anytime, just let me know when you want me back and we can make her happen.
All right. Looking forward to it. Riley Kleist, thanks again so much. When we come back, we have a former Allison Dairyland joining us along with Hans Breitenmoser and more ahead on Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't forget to be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Just text Democracy using the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock, and then keep listening throughout the day for that hour's keyword and your next chance to win. It's Tuesday, so we get the weekly crop progress and condition report through the USDA, and it tells us that corn planting is 87% complete. It is 6 days behind the five-year average. It's 13 days behind last year. Soybean planting also 87% complete. Spring tillage is 94% complete. The potato condition is at 85% good to excellent. So all is going well there. And I was looking for... there we go. First cutting of alfalfa hay, 61% complete, 6 days behind last year. And I say all that to bring in Hans Breitenmoser, who's getting set with his first cut. And I was telling him about the first cut here in the field across from us about 10 days ago or so. But, you know, weather sometimes gets in the way. How's it been up by you in Lincoln County, Hans?
That's exactly what's been happening. The weather has been getting in the way, but we've got a little bit of a window here, so everybody's scrambling to get things done. We're chopping first crop right now. Started yesterday morning at about this time, and we're going right now as well. So hopefully we have a real good day today. We'll get done by tonight, and then we'll head over to the neighbors and help them out with theirs. So
what the heck are you talking to me for? You got work to do. Is this, I mean, are you making everybody
this
else
is
work?
This is how important you know, this show is to me and how serious I take it. And quite honestly, the real truth is it gave me a chance to talk with Julia, who I don't get to see very often.
There you go. See, and now let's get to the star of the segment. Former Allison Dairyland Julia Nunes from Chippewa Falls, now with the Wisconsin Farmers Union, is our guest this week as well. Julia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Yeah. Now it's been 4 years since you first started serving as Allison Dairyland. Actually served for a little extended time because of the pandemic that was going on at the time. So your Alice reign was unusual, you know, by many standards, but you've definitely stayed in the business of promoting Wisconsin farmers and agriculture and dairy and more. What are you doing with Wisconsin Farmers Union now?
Yeah. So, wow, I can't believe you said 4 years ago. That just really dated me.
Yeah, but, you're so old, Julia, I tell you.
Well, it seems like just yesterday, but also 4 years ago. So I'm now a communication specialist with Wisconsin Farmers Union. I came on staff in October of last year, so I've been on staff for a little bit now, and I'm just here to help share the stories of our Wisconsin farmers, so that especially those small and medium-sized farms. I want everyone to know where their food is coming from, and I really enjoy doing that with Wisconsin Farmers Union and meeting some of the farmers across the state. And now it's June Dairy Month, and I grew up on a dairy farm, so this is kind of a little extra special for me to promote those farms and the dairy products that they produce. And yeah, so I'm really excited to be doing that with the Wisconsin Farmers Union now.
So yeah, this is now, Julie becomes the second most famous dairy farmer's daughter to come out of Tilden after Judy Clark, my old co-anchor at Channel 13. But to have another Tildenite, I think, is a real honor to have you talking about appreciation for Wisconsin farming, and because it's more diverse than ever. You've got families like Hans's, you've got things that qualify as corporate or mega farms. It's just not nearly as homogenous as it used to be, but all of them have a role to play in Wisconsin agriculture.
That's right. Here in Wisconsin, we have more than 5,000 dairy farms, ranging from small to large, and they are all working hard to care for their animals and produce this high quality milk, which is then turned into so many different of my favorite products, butter, cheese, ice cream. The list goes on and on. I could go forever on
well,
my
that's,
favorite dairy products.
That's what qualifies you as an Alice, is that you could do that. Again, folks hear about it probably every year, but not everybody is familiar with it. Can you give us a little historical background to Alice in Dairyland?
Oh, wow. You're really putting me on the spot. Yes. So the Alice in Dairyland program started in 1948 as a way to celebrate 100 years of Wisconsin. It was a position first chosen at the Centennial Exposition, and Alice was the host of the event. And it started as just a way to kind of spread the good news of Wisconsin's dairy industry across not only Wisconsin, but the entire country. Over the years, the position has really morphed and changed. Today, Alice is an ambassador for agriculture, for all agriculture in Wisconsin, the dairy industry, ginseng, beef, anything and everything Wisconsin agriculture. Alice in Dairyland works to promote through classroom visits, writing articles, TV, radio interviews, speeches, a little bit of everything. And it's a full-time job through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And yes, I served as Alice from July of 2020 until the beginning of July 2022. So yes, 2 years as Alice because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, Hans, how do you think she did answering that? I think she did all right, given that you would have made an excellent Alice, Hans. You are such an ambassador for Wisconsin farming.
Clearly, yeah. But I was overlooked, and Julia got the kick, and I think they made the right call.
But Hans, you know, talk for a minute about the personification of Wisconsin farm marketing, because I haven't been in all these other states, so I may be off the mark, but I think that creating the Alice in Dairyland position all those years ago helped kind of put a family farm face on Wisconsin agriculture, which was already a leader as it was, but definitely made it more approachable to folks around the country than we might have a different stereotype of farmers who are, distant and, not plugged into the community. Whereas Alice, that's as community minded as a role gets for agriculture.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And at the risk of overstating it, I think, it's like the Queen of England, right? It's the personification, like you said, but it helps to have someone like Julia that really can knock it out of the park and do that role well and be that ambassador for ag. And it's more important now than ever, not only to sort of promote Wisconsin agriculture, but also help educate people inside and outside of the state about agriculture in general. And that's an important role that Alice has played over the years as well. So we're very fortunate and grateful to have that role here in Wisconsin.
Well, now, thanks to that, similarity that you drew. I'm waiting for somebody to redo The Crown, but instead of about British royalty, we just, you know, have a drama series about all the Alices over time.
Oh dear.
Although I still think I might have, you know, been exposed to one of my favorite Alice stories, and that was the year when our morning anchor didn't show up for work, and then we found out later in the day, you know, live on her show, that she, Roxy Westfall, had been crowned Alice in Dairyland. We didn't know that she was applying or anything, and it was a very cool thing. Julie, I would imagine that maybe not all of them, but many of the former Alices are a bit of a sorority that get out there and represent Wisconsin and Mass. You're never not Alice anymore.
Yes, I think once an Alice, always an Alice, and it was really fun getting together with all of them at the recent Alice in Dairyland finals that took place in Door County, and it's so fun to get all the Alices together that can get together and hear stories from everyone's year, because we all kind of have a similar experience, but everyone has a story or two or something really unique that happened during their year. For me, it's 2 years, but it's just so much fun getting together with all of them and learning from them, and I really enjoy kind of giving back to the program and mentoring the new Alices. And it's such a fun group of women who have gone to do such incredible things. And so I'm very blessed to be a part of the Alice in Dairyland program.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to ask it in two different ways, kind of the same question. But again, as a dairy farmer and coming from a dairy farm family and being named Alice, and then as your reign representing pretty much all of Wisconsin agriculture, what was something you learned about, you know, Wisconsin agriculture while you were Alice that really surprised, like you really needed to bone up on, like you were not familiar with this part of Wisconsin agriculture at all? And then I kind of want to ask about that today. What are you still learning about? What's new to you in Wisconsin agriculture? But going back to your time as Alice, what did you really first have to really learn about that you hadn't been exposed to?
Oh, I had to learn a lot. And I think anyone who runs for Alice knows that. As Alice, during my time competing, they have this program called the Communications and Marketing Program Certificate you get. And in that 4 or 5 week time period that you're preparing for the Alice finals, you spend time learning about all these different commodities. So you have a kind of a class on cranberries or a class on ginseng, so you can learn about it right from a farmer or someone who works for like the ginseng growers of Wisconsin or something like that. So that was probably the biggest thing I learned. Growing up on a dairy farm, you know, I knew about cows and milk and cheese and how awesome it all is, but I didn't quite know just the diversity of products and farming that we have in Wisconsin. And so that was probably the biggest thing for me to learn. Like I said before, when we weren't on air, I said, I know a little bit about a lot of different things. And that's how I feel about Wisconsin agriculture. I could tell you about cranberries or ginseng. And that was the big learning for me, is just learning about all the different things, the specialty crops, the big commodities. I love to take that forward now into my role at Farmers Union and kind of have a little bit of that information floating around at all times. It really does come in handy.
I have to say, that was the first thing that I had to learn about that was different from farming was ginseng, like what it is, and to appreciate the importance of it. Hans, you came over here all your parents, I should say, and you were all in on dairy, I would imagine, from the get-go, but I'm sure you're still learning things, learning about things, or absolutely. Being surprised by things.
I'm learning every single day. You mm-hmm. bet. I learn things from my kids and my staff, and I still learn things from my dear mother. So, yeah, I don't think you're ever done.
No, well, no, and you shouldn't be. And look, the Alice in Dairyland program is just one of the ways. Another would be the county fairs. I mean, we're going to be coming up on county fair season pretty soon. Julie, any idea? Have you? How many of the county fairs have you been to around the state? Would you say you've been to nearly all of them or many?
I don't think I've been to all of them. I know the Wisconsin Fairs, the fairs position usually tries to hit all of them. I think there's sure. over 70. Mm-hmm. And I did not go to over 70 fairs. Okay. I did my fair share. I probably went to over 30 or so, but there's a lot in Wisconsin, and I love to go to them as well.
I would say as well, when we talk about things that we're still learning and appreciating, that Hans has actually been especially good for that for me when we first started having these radio discussions, learning about the markets, the monopoly power, if you will, that there are only four major, you know, meat producers out there, meat packers. And so that's why there's value in encouraging smaller, you know, Wisconsin-based operations to engage in that for meat or for other commodities as well. And Julie, I would imagine that is also something that's, you know, in your wheelhouse now, is helping encourage the growth, the creation and the development of, you know, small businesses, not just farms, but, you know, processors, meat packers, sellers, anything related to agriculture in our state.
Yeah, yeah. At Wisconsin Farmers Union, we do a lot to help those small, mid-sized farmers, meat packers, anything like that. And we have got a whole big team of people here trying to kind of lift up their voices, provide resources. And we have a lot of resources and information on our website, wisconsinfarmersunion.com. And the programs and things we have going on are way beyond what I know off the top of my head. But I highly encourage people, if they're not members, to look at our website. If you align with what we're doing, feel free to join our organization, because we're always looking to, like I said, lift up those voices of small and mid-sized farms. We want to see family farms like Hans's to go on for a while yet. I know you've got some kids who are probably loving the farm, but that's what we're all about here. We want to see those family farms continue on, and yeah, that's what we do.
I think Hans, you may have been usurped as the leading advocate for Wisconsin Farmers Union, though you're still right there in the running.
I think I may have been usurped, yes.
No. I think it's great to have both of you there.
I gave a chance to use the word usurp that I probably wouldn't otherwise use today.
There you go. See, I help out a little. We all learn something every day. Julie, are you at the Farmers Union offices in Chippewa Falls, or are you also in the state?
Yep, I'm up. I am based up in the office in Chippewa Falls. We also have an office down in Madison.
Okay. But for folks, we don't have time to get into it now, but Wisconsin Farmers Union is doing something so cool with an old building right near you along the river. And that's going to get going next year, I think. The construction's going on. Can't wait to talk more about that. A lot of people excited about it. Julia Nunez, former Allison Dairyland, now with Wisconsin Farmers Union. Hans Breitenmoser. Thanks to both of you as always. Love the visit. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Chad Holmes will be here next to talk about his show coming up on Bull Falls Radio. You're up north. Or maybe having second thoughts. Hey, what are you waiting for? You've only got 9 minutes left to text the word democracy on the Civic Media app, and you will be entered in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. So text democracy to us ASAP before 8 o'clock. Chad Holmes is here from Bull Falls Radio. He'll have a keyword as well. Whoops, I hit the wrong button there. There we go. He'll be part of all of these shenanigans with Scani Summer as well. But in the meantime, I wanted to get to some reaction here. I mentioned that today is National German Chocolate Day. Alicia writes in, German chocolate cake with coconut pecan icing is amazing. Meanwhile, in our private chat, some guy named Greg writes, German chocolate cake is, how did you describe it, Greg?
A human rights violation.
You take that back right now. That is
Pat,
Chad
my
Holmes
last
is here now to break the tie. So
okay. Go ahead, Chad. Okay. Go ahead, Chad. Chad? Go ahead.
German chocolate cake.
Remember,
human rights violation.
Just remember this. Remember this. I control all the audio right now. So let's just
I am definitely with Greg on this one.
There we go.
All right. Well, it's been nice having you two. We'll meet you two. I'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow here on the show. How can you say that?
It's easy. And I'm German. So my last delicious name is Bach. And yeah. I think German chocolate cake is terrible. I think German potato salad is terrible. It's also gritty and yellowish, orange, gray, gold, and disgusting and filled with coconut. And
where are you guys getting your German chocolate cake? That sounds terrible.
From the bottom of the well. I have no idea. All I know is I hate it.
All right. Then offsetting that for each of you would be what? If I'm not making you a German chocolate cake for your birthday, somebody puts in a request, what are they making you?
Chad, what are you getting? You're on mute.
See, mine. Yeah, take yourself off.
Chad, you're on mute
there, Chad. Oh, maybe I put him there. Hang on a second. Nope, it wasn't me. You muted yourself there, buddy. Let's see. He's pushing the button. There we go.
I don't know why, what happened there again. I somehow, it happened 2 weeks in a row now where this magically muted me. I don't know if my computer.
I think, well, Greg threatens to, and I think maybe AI is more powerful than we think.
Oh, don't even go there.
So what are we getting you for a cake if not German chocolate?
I'm just a chocolate guy. I'm just a plain chocolate guy. I'm a traditional chocolate guy. And I'm a boring person when it comes to to food, and I've tried my best to try to break out of that bubble, but unfortunately I've been boring my whole life.
See, the thing is, neither Sherry nor my daughters like German chocolate cake either. So every year for my birthday, I get my second favorite, which is a chocolate cake, chocolate frosting, but a raspberry filling in the middle.
Greg's ready. No. This is where I'm going to come to your defense.
Okay, thank you.
If German chocolate cake is your favorite and that's what you want for your birthday, then I think that Dr. Kreitlow and your children, at the very least, could get you like a small German chocolate cake for you to enjoy. You shouldn't have to settle for second or third best. It should be, it's your day.
Yeah, but it's a close second. It's really good. I mean, I appreciate that you're looking out for my desire to have something that you find abhorrent.
I do. Oh my God, it's a war crime. Just an absolute war crime.
See, now I'm going down to the festival here, and usually I'll get like a chocolate donut, chocolate frosted donut, but every so often they've got one with the German chocolate frosting on top. And
is it on sale because no one bought it?
No. As a matter of fact, it probably costs more because it's so scrumptious.
Ugh.
But, all right, Chad's over here going, Mommy and Daddy are fighting again.
I think that I had heard yesterday while I was tuned into Todd's show that you're going to be like a special guest when Jane and Todd visit Eau Claire this
week. Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about that. Jane and Todd coming to Eau Claire Thursday, Amory Friday, and I'll be there.
You should bring this huge cake. German chocolate all over it and whatever else in between, whatever else you like in the middle of it, and share it with the road trippers that are coming to your neck of the woods. And I kind of chuckled because I was actually driving at the time coming back to the station, and Todd was saying yes, and special guest Pat Kreitlow, and I think
special. Look at that.
I think it is almost like a special appearance by Pat Kreitlow coming from his beautiful property on Lake Wasoda.
Make it sound like a compound up here
in Eau Claire proper, and they're gonna have the lights. It'd be like the royal family coming into town.
Goodness, hello!
it's special
appearance by Pat Kreitlow.
It's special appearance by Up North News Radio. Radio's Up North News Radio with TV's Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah, something like that. Thank you, Alicia, for the follow-up on Facebook. Pat, you get you some chocolate, German chocolate cake.
I agree.
I will. So there. Chad has a show, meanwhile, that we should probably be talking about as well, what's happening out there. Let me ask you specifically, though. The new mayor up there recently, I guess, kind of pulled the plug on some development in the city, saying that there were too many other things that needed to be worked on first. I don't know if that was something that was particularly controversial, if it was talked about much on your show, but I would think as a political strategy, that was exactly what somebody who ran a campaign like his needs to do, is to say, no, we can't do this anymore.
I think it did kind of fit, and I did find it. I found it to be an interesting early step, because again, this was not about, at this very point, saying we're going to put X number of dollars into some sort of project. I think it's just to try to say, hey, this is kind of what I ran on. This is trying to be a little bit, for lack of a better term, more careful with the purse strings and worried about. As I said on my show, one thing about local government, and I try, but when I talk to folks, they got these packets that are so thick. And I said, I'm not going to come on here and start ripping my hair out or say that it's a wonderful thing without knowing exactly what the mayor, and I haven't had a chance to talk to the mayor since then. I just find it was interesting that there was a majority of the council that was for this. I do think that I agreed. It came to me the same way that you kind of put it, that this is an indication early in the administration that you better be careful if you're the
be careful bringing your request to this guy.
Yeah.
Which
and again, I it's very early, and I'm not saying willing to say that he's going to be somebody that is very tight on the purse strings in that respect. But I did think it sent a bit of a signal.
Well, because remember, if you're saying no to everything, then you better find some other way to show progress
exactly. In
your city. Otherwise, you're just Dr. No. Chad Holmes, his show is 8 to 10 weekdays on Bull Falls Radio, or listen through the Civic Media app. Greg Bach, you'll hear him next in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air from 10 to noon. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it so much. Tomorrow, we will talk about Republican legislative leadership sitting on money that could be used to improve reading and literacy skills in Wisconsin schools because they're picking another petty fight with Governor Tony Evers. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here Wednesday morning, 6 a.m.